And it's a quarter past 11 as we review all the trot action from the weekend with HRV's Blake Redden. How was your weekend, Blake?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good weekend out at Melton on the weekend. Some good horses going around those homegrown classics we'll talk about. And also the VHRSC Classic, that was also a good race.
Okay, we've got a couple of guests that will join us through our review this week as well. As we have a look at race one and talk about Carter Bromack's winning performance over the favourite Rock Classic.
I must admit, I was a little surprised. I did tip Rock Classic, so don't get me wrong. I didn't get it right by any stretch, but I thought Carter Bromack would be favourite. He wasn't such, but, you know, he's a very nice horse. Rock Classic was able to keep rolling forward. Eventually, he found the lead, and he was able to get a pretty soft second quarter before they wound it up. He did look the winner for a little while, but Carter Bromack just came off that three-wide trail and was too strong for him the last 100 metres. As I mentioned, he's a nice horse, Carter Bromack. He got the job done over Rock Classic. Warminster battled on pretty well, had to sit parked and wasn't beaten too far in the end. Times of Bonus was the one making ground from the back. Outside of those, the others probably all were just fair. But look, Carter Bromack, he's now broken his MO status. It's a question of exactly where he can get to, but he still has some upside.
Okay, so that's a look at race one. We head over to the second. This is a trot T2 to T4. It was won by T. Avon's Dream. And the hot pot favourite, Chevron Express. What happened there, Blake?
Oh, she was just abused in front, to be perfectly honest. She was very short, probably a little bit too short in hindsight, but I'd be willing to forgive that to a large degree, given that Garston Girl put her to the sword a long way out. They ran some very quick quarters for the trotters, 29 seconds through the first quarter, then a 30-second quarter, 28-4 third quarter, and they really slowed up that last quarter, 31-4 home. But look, Chevron Express, she hasn't had much go her way, so I'm willing to give her a pass mark on that, or at least a forgive run. Garston Girl was clearly the biggest run in the race. Sat parked, as I mentioned, poured the pressure on the whole way. We know she's really, really good. She won that race sort of a week out from the Victoria Trotters Oaks, and she looked like she might be a big play in that race where she didn't end up getting a run, but clearly putting two wins together, or the win at Ballarat last start and then the very good second here, she did look home halfway up the straight. Tiavon's Dream was the one that was just Johnny on the spot in the end. Sat back in the field, obviously lapped up that hot speed and then ran to the line really strongly, got the job done. Aim for the Moon ran a good race running on to third. Gaelic Glass was another one. I know she was beaten 10 metres, but she might just be getting back to somewhere near her best. And outside of those, Chevron Express was next, and then a big gap to the rest. So look, they ran quick enough that the form should sort itself out pretty well here, and the top four all will be winning again shortly.
We have a look at the third. This was a trot won by Any Old Way. It was a fairly open betting race. So what did you take out of this race, Blake?
Yeah, it was a good drive by Josh Duggan to be able to find the front after a couple of horses, namely Save Our Pennies, got there from the standing start. Josh Duggan pushed on, found the lead, and that was certainly the winning move. He was able to get one pretty soft quarter, that second quarter, 31.7. The lead time wasn't over quick. He just controlled the tempo, and he was too strong for them up the lane. Save Our Pennies was good in behind the leader, ran a nice strong second. Xenia was hitting the line, didn't have a whole lot of luck, but probably the run of the race was Clover Mack. He just galloped out at the start. He probably added another sort of 20 metres to his 30-metre handicap, and he just kept charging that last lap. He was enormous, still hitting the line when they found the winning post. So he's going to go back probably up in grade, you'd have to say, and take on the free-for-all as from the mobile. There's very little doubt in my eye he's going to be competitive when he gets there. Outside of the rest, I thought Aldebaran Southland was okay. It was sort of 100-1, ran a nice enough fifth, and not a whole lot to take out of the rest. A couple of them galloping and doing things wrong. So Any Old Way, Tick maybe found its level now, but certainly going to be competitive, and Clover Mack the horse to follow.
Okay, we have a look at race number four. This is the first of the features, the Group 2 Empire Stallion Vicbred Platinum Homegrown Classic Final for the three-year-old fillies, taken out by the hot pot favourite in She's All Rock, and she won with a lot of authority as expected, Bloke.
Yeah, she did. She showed it on heat night of this series on debut, where she drew the pole and she was worked over pretty tirelessly by her rivals, but she still kicked clear in 153.7. which was a pretty good sign heading into this race. Mark Pitt drove her aggressively, found the lead, and from there that was the end of the penny section. So Her Burning Love ran second, was a really good run because it made a small break after the start, lost a good deal of ground, had to end up working around again mid-race to sit parked, but kicked on pretty strongly to only be beaten 11 metres, so she's a clearly really talented horse and she's just coming into her own right now. Seattle Trace was well beaten into third, but stuck on well with the soft run. Sheer Modern, same story, was a pretty good run. I'm a Sassy Girl and Outback Shadow. They were both beaten 25 metres, but they both made good ground late, so they're going to go into probably easy races, you'd think, in the next little while, and I wouldn't be worried following them at sort of each way odds. I'm a Sassy Girl and Outback Shadow, but she's all rock. She's a class filly. I think she'll be put away for a break now and come back when the better race is around.
Okay, so that's a look at the first of the features. As we're up to race number five now. Epaulette was able to win this for David Aiken at a pretty good price. Actually, first and second both started at big odds. How was this race run, Blake?
It was an interesting race. It was a good battle for the early lead. They never really stopped running, despite slowing it down to some degree in the second quarter, but then they really charged through that third quarter, 27-9. There were a few changes, as I mentioned, up the top. Lucky Lombo was able to find the lead, hand it up to Beach Boy Adios. It was a really good run, but all the gaps just opened up for Epaulette in the end. It was quite a smart drive from Kima Frenning. She didn't have many options early. She ended up getting planted back on the pegs, but just followed the right horses and ended up finding the gap along the sprint lane when other horses didn't necessarily want to go there. So she got the job done, finished really strongly late, Epaulette. And look, he was always going to need luck, but when that luck came, he certainly shot through the gap. Beach Boy Adios ran a good race, as I mentioned, leading. Dynamic Bromac was hitting the line again from that tough draw. Definitely, a horse that's going to continue to win his fair share of races. Lucky Lombo was sound enough. Just question exactly where he's at right now. He's always going to be competitive, but whether he can win one of these, I'm not sure. Tryson was probably one to take out of the race from back in the field. Hit the line really strongly. Didn't have much luck in that last 100 metres, but he was still really rocketing through the line. So, it was an interesting race. Epaulette's now on a pretty tough mark, but he's going well, and Beach Boy Adios, same story.
Okay, so that's a look at that race as we head over to race number six, and this was another feature at Group 2 level, the Empire Stallions Vic Red Platinum Homegrown Classic Final. This was the three-year-old Colts and Geldings. Let's pick up the replay.
Yankee Roller gets off the pegs, but it's still in traffic and in need of a run. Comprehends out four deep. Just running out of a bit of room there was Muscle Up Major. It gets a bit tight. Under pressure now is Best of Beauty. Hasn't found much. Better Bow and U92 get to the lead together. Yankee Roller's going well. Just needs a run. It might come up soon. Third quarter, 28.3. On the final bend, U92 hit the lead. The inside, Better Bow. Now Yankee Roller's out. Here comes Yankee Roller. He's after U92. Didn't comprehend, but Yankee Roller hit the lead. Patient as always, Gavin Lang made it look easy. Yankee Roller makes it 4 from 4 and beat U92. Better Bow Brave and Comprehend. He must be a good horse. That wasn't a bad run from Mended.
Yeah, so Yankee Roller is expected. The winner looks a pretty promising type, Luke.
He is. The story of the race is clearly the drive of Gavin Lang. Every time I watch the replay, it gets better and better. He just followed all the right horses. He sort of tried to come off the inside early, didn't work out, so he stuck to the pegs, which is a brave enough move on sort of a $2.70 favourite, three poles. But then when he did get off the pegs, the horses in front of him were starting to tire really quickly. He was able to switch into the one wide line, got to the top of the straight, and he probably could have gone inside, where I think it might have been Better Bow that had hit the lead, and he may have had to get the sprint lane, but Better Bow was tiring at the same time, so he quickly whipped to the outside and got the gap there. It was a sensational drive, Yankee Roller. Look, he was clearly the best horse in the race, and he didn't have to do any work, but he still sprinted sharply to win. U92 is clearly a pretty smart horse in its own right and ran a really nice second. Better Bow sat parked and beat off the leader pretty quickly, and then was strong through the line to run third. Comprehend, as Dan outlined in the call, was a good run. Mended, not too bad either, and not a whole lot to take from the rest. All pretty much as they seem in terms of numbers. But Yankee Roller, I'm interested to see exactly how good he is, if he has to do some work and where he measures up to some other early season three-year-olds, but he looks pretty good at the minute.
Got a race seven. This was won by Carla's Pixel over the favourite Nikki Badwagon.
Yeah, it was. She got the job done over the same horse last week. They ran the same exact. It was a different sort of story this week, though, because Carla's Pixel wasn't drawn to be behind the leader, given that Milady Denver was always going to have a run up at Larissa's advice and then elected to hand over to Wow She Smooth. So she had to get off the pegs, Carla's Pixel, and it did make it a tougher task because Nikki Badwagon rolled forward this week rather than going back, and she sat parked. And look, she put in a really good effort again, but Carla's Pixel just too strong. She came three wide solo. She kept hitting the line. Nikki Badwagon did fight for it, but just couldn't quite hold her off. Wow She Smooth led and ran a good race, and Little Wynn was the one making late ground. Milady Denver didn't have much luck either, hitting the line. So they finished sort of all together at the end, but Callis Pixel, she's in Rare Touch at the minute. She's going to keep winning, you would have thought, if she finds a similar race. Nikki Badwagon, maybe she's not at her absolute brilliant best, but still quite a sound run. And, Little Lynn and Milady Denver, the other two to follow from the race.
Well, Amanda Turnbull had a pretty good night out in the training ranks as well at Melton with a couple of winners. And, of course, she provided the win of race number 8 in the Gilding. Major Dan and joins us. Amanda, good weekend.
Yeah, it was a super weekend.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Major Dan to start off with. He was quite a solid win there.
Yeah, we sort of didn't know how he'd go because it was the first time to jump that win. Free for all, great. And he's been going super, especially when he leads. And, yeah, he was good.
Amanda, it was a terrific drive from Lisa Bartley. The horse did get a little bit fired up at stages, but she was able to control the tempo still and make it a real dash home, and that certainly played to his advantage.
Yeah, he goes really good for her. She gets him all revved up. And it was a super drive, and she done well.
In terms of going forward, clearly, he's going to make it at this level in terms of the free-for-allers. Did we learn exactly where he's at, or do you still want to see him do it again when the better horses come around? Are you targeting a Victoria Cup? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I suppose we'll just have to see how he goes. He's going to have to rely on the draw and that sort of thing. But he's still, when he has drawn bad, he's always thereabouts. So hopefully he can keep taking the next step.
And Carter Bromack was another winner on the night in the first race. He's clearly a very smart horse. He can do things wrong at times. He's not always the cleanest gated pacer, but he came off a pretty strong tempo and he was really good.
Yeah, he was really good in the run. Like, I didn't give him much hope with the slow tempo, but he still sprinted home good.
In terms of his ability to go forward and continue to win races, what sort of level can he get to? He's broken his MO now. Where do you look to go with him?
Oh, not real sure. We sort of just keep poking along. It was good to get the MO out of him, and there at one stage we weren't that sure with it. But, we'll just have to go in the M1 for a while and see what he let him tell us.
All right, Amanda, we'll appreciate you joining us. Well done with Major Dan on the weekend. Just before we let you go, U92 in the Homegrown Classic for the boys, you must have been really happy with his run.
Yeah, super. He's gone for a break now, which are doing really good. He's come a long way, and he's a cracking-looking horse, and we're pretty excited about him.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Amanda. There's Amanda Turnbull talking about the two winners that she had on the weekend. Just the way that this race ended up being run, it was obviously the fast class of the night, Blake, but they only had the 6. What was the lead speed clocked at?
Yeah, it was 47.3. It wasn't an overly brisk tempo. As I sort of mentioned before, Lisa Bartley did a terrific job of keeping Major Dan in tow because he was getting fired up throughout the race, but they went a 32-second first quarter and then a 29.9 second quarter. And for that class, it's not overly brisk, is it, over the middle distance? So he was able to sprint up and get the job done. Maxi Mann ran a really good race. He was 3 pegs. He needed luck. He got the sprint lane, but he just didn't have quite enough time to wind up and win the race. Lovin' a Chevy continues to race well wherever he goes. He's clearly a horse that doesn't mind following, decent horses and can still stick on. I thought Messini's run was probably better than it looks on paper, given the way that the race panned out. He was only beaten 6 metres. It's still another tick for him, and I wouldn't be jumping off the other two either, given the way the race was run. So, it's interesting. Major Dan, I think he still has to prove it at free-for-all level, but that was a good sign or a good step in the right direction.
Definitely. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about race number 9 now, Blake. This was won by Andy Yu.
It was. It was a good drive from Kerra Manning to be able to keep rolling forward after the start. Hot Jane Bling crossed one of the favourites, or the equal favourite, in Margaret Ruth, and then once Hot Jane Bling found the front, Kerra Manning, realised that there was a good chance she'd probably hand up, and that was the case. Andrew was able to find the front. They didn't break any records early doors, particularly through those first two quarters of the last mile, 32.3 into 32.5, and then they did start to sprint up and sprint home. Clearly didn't give many others a chance. The 3 peg line runners were probably the class runners of the race, and they did dash home and sort of got everything else off the bit. So good win by Andrew. Hot Jane Bling stuck on well. Margaret Ruth made ground, as you would expect. She just probably didn't get her best chance from 3 pegs. It didn't work out for her, but she's certainly right there with Andrew on ability. There's not a lot between them. The rest were all sound enough, breezing around a good fourth. And outside of the obvious, I thought Aldebaran Rambo was huge. I know had a soft running transit, but made a break at a really crucial stage. And and then was able to continue to make ground on the line, was finishing as hard as anything. So if Gary Leach can get him right and get him to trot cleanly, I think he's almost as good as anything in the race, but he can be a bit problematic in terms of getting everything together. But the top three are all clearly very smart horses.
And then we go to the final event, which was won by Nitro Nikki, who was expected to win, ended up starting at 10s on.
Yeah, she got the job done. She led and did everything right. They went 156.3, so they didn't break records again over the sprint trip here at Melton, even being a CO race. But as I mentioned, she got the job done. She led, held on. Budding Caesar tried really hard, ended up finding the pegs first, handing over, and continued to find the line, was only beaten a small margin. The rest, the Lone Dancer was good, Be Not Afraid. They both ran better than the odds would have suggested for them. And outside of those, there was a bit going on early where some of the chances, What's the Catch and co, were out of play and were never in the hunt. So they're all forgivable efforts. I guess their Defiant was a little question mark run in the race. He was beaten a long way in the end. First up from a break, he wasn't up to what you'd expect of him. So not sure where he's at the minute. But Nitro Nikki, she's a mare that, she's getting the job done right now. I'm not sure where she gets to in terms of the future, but all she can do is win.
Exactly. So what are some of the highlights for the program from in your eyes, Blake?
Well, it's a bit of a tough one because those two feature races, the Homegrown Classics, She's All Rock, will go for a break now and come back, so we won't see her for a while. But she's clearly, in terms of three-year-old fillies, Nostra Villa probably gets the edge on her, but I don't think she's too far off the likes of Molly Kelly and Nostra Beach. If she's at her best, She's All Rock, so I'd definitely be following her when she returns. Also, Yankee Roller from the other division when he returns. But in terms of horses that are going round from those races, I'd expect I'm a Sassy Girl and Outback Shadow to probably still keep going with their preparations. And at big odds through the fillies races, I'd be expecting them to be good each-way chances. From early in the card, I thought Gaelic Lass goes around Wednesday at Ballarat after that fourth to Tiavon's Dream, definitely a horse to follow. And from a little bit later in the card, I'd definitely say Aldebaran Rambo. He just needs to put it all together, but I think he's going to be winning a race shortly.
Sounds great. Good on you, Blake. We'll talk more tomorrow on Gatespeed.
Thanks, Nard.